Jimmy DiResta, Shop Hero. In 2007, my wife Megan was hired to perform the role of Elizabeth in Young Frankenstein on Broadway for Mel Brooks himself. She was astonishing, and the show was top drawer. So we moved to New York to allow our marriage to accommodate the run of the show. I was excited since I had not ever gotten to live there for more than a week or two at a time. I brought a bag of hand tools with me, hoping to use the time away from my shop and my client base to finally build my first canoe. The first requirement was finding a shop space large enough to house the construction of an 18-foot-long boat, and so I set off to find the perfect barn in the middle of our country's most expensive real estate market. My first stop was at the Lower East Side shop of Jimmy DiResta, whom I had heard about from his brother John, Johnny Two Shows DiResta, with whom I had worked on a Comedy Central program called American Body Shop. I made my way down ancient stone steps through a trap door in the sidewalk to find Jimmy's wonderland of tools and materials. I was smitten immediately, like any shop rat would have been, by the clear evidence that this dungeon-like setting was home to an impressive amount of creative productivity. Before long, we were jawing away like we had known each other forever, excitedly discussing our histories with tools and projects and triumphs and mishaps. His curiosity and enthusiasm are infectious, especially because, although others know him primarily as a woodworker, he claims no specialty, beyond making, that is. He'll discuss an intricate job of welding a display case with the same fervor as weaving a basket out of recycled cloth strips. What was immediately clear was that he just loves to make things. Born in 1967, Jimmy grew up on Long Island under the guiding hand of his dad, Joe, a hard-working blue-collar handyman. His early education is still paying off because the handyman, or woman, can claim no specialization. He or she needs to have the tools and know-how at the ready to deal with any problem a job site might affect: plumbing, electric, roofing, masonry, carpentry, stained glass, landscaping, heating, you name it. Jimmy took to these skills naturally, finding himself obsessed with every sort of material and how it can be used to create anything and everything in the physical world. His bedrock knowledge was that of a handyman, but it was his sculptor's heart that altered his life's pursuit from mending pipes and construction timbers to turning those materials into works of art. In 1990, Jimmy graduated from the School of Visual Arts in Chelsea and found himself working as an inventor and designer of toys, which makes a lot of sense. He has an innate talent for concocting clever and whimsical ideas out of thin air, which makes him the perfect mad scientist for thinking up new toy ideas. Suddenly, he was back and forth between the States and China, overseeing production of his different toy creations. Unfortunately, as you might imagine, the toy business is not unlike show business, in that business is the root word of the phrase. Jimmy soon left the unpleasantly fast-paced world of commercial toys for the comparatively idyllic life, however sweaty, of a New York City artist. In 1998, he began teaching at SVA, his alma mater. His class, which he continues to teach as of the time of this writing, is entitled 3D Design. In it, he simply passes along his knowledge and inspiration to his students. He says, "Imagine that shape in space, and fill in that shape in space. If you use wood, you use wood. If you use paper, you use paper. Paper mache, styrofoam, whatever." In this day and age, armed with a seemingly limitless wealth of information and materials, one can find instruction on how to make a vast array of items. Jimmy is very inspiring in his class, which I have crashed, when he encourages us all to let go of convention. The students were making lamps when I visited, and they were devilishly crafty, which made each and every one of them uniquely delightful. Every time I visit Jimmy in New York, we A. get coffee, B. catch up on our ladies and our pups, and then C. he teaches me something amazing. I went to see him a month ago to chat about this chapter for my book, and I gave him a Swiss Army knife that I had made up special for all the book's contributors. The knife has a beautiful view of Yosemite National Park in California and the word pith engraved on it. Pith is a favorite word of mine, and its definition is not unrelated to another fave, gumption. Not only does pith refer to the heart of a tree trunk, but it also means essence, core, heart, strength, or metal, spelled M-E-T-T-L-E. Jimmy thanked me, then looked at the printed image on the knife and said, "Oh, this is hydrographics." As usual, I grinned and asked what in the Sam heck hydrographics is. He neatly explained it to me and then showed me a couple of amazing YouTube videos in which the rim of a car wheel and an electric guitar were printed upon using the process. I won't take up any time here explaining it. You can YouTube it for yourself, and you should. It's super cool. But the point is that Jimmy knows how everything is made, and what he doesn't know, he finds out. Then he tucks it into his cranial filing system for later use, so that when he's brainstorming any future project, he has all the possible options of fabrication available to him. He combines this encyclopedic knowledge with an easy facility for using tools, all tools. Watching the aggressive way he works on his bandsaw held yet another great lesson for me. Don't be so precious. Once he decides how to make whatever it is that has caught his fascination at the moment, he then seems to say, "Okay, now how fast can I do this?" Jimmy cuts wood and metal on his bandsaw as though he's testing the blade to find its breaking point. It reminds me of my early years building houses and scenery. I was pretty sharp with a circular saw, and I recall the sensation of pushing a long cut along a chalk line to see how fast I could execute it while still nailing the line. Jimmy has never lost that sense of urgency. No part of the process is precious, it's simply a means to an end. Whether it's a die grinder or a carving gouge, he just throws himself at it until he's achieved the shape he sees in his head. I have to note here that a couple of years ago, Jimmy nearly lost a pinky to his table saw. After so many years of skilled tool use, he finally got a very lucky wake-up call. Now he has a saw stop. The key to safety is knowing your tools and your own skill level, adding in the proper equipment, and then throwing in a little natural caution and distrust. The lesson I take away from his intrepid approach is that, while meticulous work is pleasantly indulgent, time really is money. And so I do my best to pursue a happy medium between enjoying my time in the shop with a tool in my hand and expeditiously getting to the finished product. To feel the pleasure of the resolution and the client's delight, hopefully, before plunging forward into the next adventure. Jimmy ever reminds me that there's no need to wallow in the making of anything. There'll be plenty more to make once the current project is out the door. Jimmy has dabbled in television a few times with his aforementioned brother, the amusing and ruggedly handsome Johnny Two Shows. One of their programs boasted that Jimmy could make anything and John could make anything funny. While this certainly holds true, the brothers were to discover some of the painful truths about trying to combine creativity and commerce. Without indulging in the foul language that Jimmy and I tend to favor when discussing working with television and cable networks, let me just say that the bankers and salespersons running TV channels don't tend to give a rat's fanny about how amazing a talent like Jimmy's can be to watch. These folks were not in the business of selling furniture or anything else the D'Arresta brothers could create. The TV people were in the business of selling soda pop and pharmaceuticals via advertising time, while Jimmy gamely built works of art between commercials. Naturally, Jimmy grew tired of chasing this crappy brass ring, and the timing could not have been better. He had already been shooting and editing and posting online his own shop projects when we met, attesting to his desire to not only make things, but to share his knowledge with others as a teacher. Jimmy agreed to shoot the entire build of my first canoe. You can hear more about this in the Bear Mountain Boats chapter, and even purchase a DVD online. It was in a sweet shop space on a pier in Red Hook, Brooklyn, during the many hours of that build that we became attached for life. Even though he claimed to have very poor woodworking skills at the time, at every turn he would suggest improvements to the many steps of the build. I remember specifically when I was sanding the curved hardwood stems, which I had steam-bent into shape, he effortlessly invented three different implements out of leftover MDF, medium-density fiberboard, to help me sand a curve. He can't help but look at the challenge at hand, examine every scrap of detritus lying about, and then MacGyver together some solution or three. Back to the video side of things, Jimmy began to really invest in making his YouTube videos around this time. He has a hypnotic style in which there's never any talking, just the project start to finish, sped up in time so that a job spanning several hours can be viewed in as many minutes. Those of us who like to make things especially love to watch his creativity manifest itself in any number of techniques and shop tricks, as he builds incredible custom items before our very eyes. We are not alone. At the time of this recording, his YouTube channel has over 700,000 subscribers, and his Instagram has 50,000 followers. I have to mention another character or two in this chapter. Since I have known him, Jimmy has had a right-hand man by the name of David Welder, who is every bit the weird Robin to Jimmy's Batman. They thrive on making things together and collaborating on a lot of their video work. Welder has his own channels as well, and they are committed to growing the online community of makers, so that everyone with access to a computer and the internet can give and take from the wealth of the global pool of tool knowledge. Jimmy said, "This YouTube community is amazing. We got friends all over the world now, and we've never met them in person." If Welder is Robin, then there is also a Wonder Woman in the picture, Jimmy's better half, Taylor Forrest. Taylor is a fabricator and artist who works mainly with heavy gauge leather and welded steel, and who also happens to be a very smart young woman, further exploding the stereotype that one needs to be a hirsute fellow to work with any tools or materials. She makes really handsome and sturdy furniture and shares the same curiosity that fuels our whole community. When we all get together, I know the conversation is going to be delectable, full of questions that are then answered by experience. For example, she asked me, "Have you ever worked with horseshoes?" "Oh man, that is an art and a craft and a science," she said. "You can't screw up. You're forging the perfect shape, because if you miss, that's going on an animal who will be injured by your mistake." Jimmy is a sweetheart who gives away his knowledge freely in many forums. He also is one-third of the podcast Making It, lending him a very urban, grease-stained Robin Hood quality that I adore. We often just send each other pictures of beautiful vintage tools that we come across, like soldiers in the war sending pinups of movie starlets. Trust me, nobody was ever half as inspired by Betty Grable as Jimmy and I are by a Northfield joiner from the 1960s.